It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
There's no deal yet, but there's hope. And encouraging words from Minority Leader Schumer and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin after more late-night negotiations emerging. Schumer saying, quote, we expect to have an agreement tomorrow morning. So that can't come soon enough because, as you pointed out, Steve, it was a wild day on the Senate floor, tempers flaring, frustrations boiling over.
You know what the American people are thinking right now, Mr. President? They're thinking that this country was founded by geniuses, but it's being run by a bunch of idiots.
This is disgraceful. We do not have time. Time is not on our side.
They ought to be embarrassed, Mr. President. This is not a juicy political opportunity. This is a national emergency.
But complicating matters, Speaker Pelosi introduced her own 1,000-page-plus relief bill, which she says favors corporations. Now, that would have to be reconciled with the Senate bill. Republicans are slamming it, though, for what they call a wish list of things unrelated to coronavirus. Let me show you. It has wind and solar tax credits, reduction in airline emissions, increased leverage for labor unions, the elimination of the Postal Service debt, it has same-day voter registration, and $35 million for the Kennedy Center of Performing Arts here in D.C. Now, at the White House, the president's tweeting he doesn't like that sort of thing, and he's pressuring lawmakers to act.
Now Congress must demonstrate the same bipartisanship again and join together to pass the Senate bill as written and avoid playing any more partisan games. They have to get together and just stop with the partisan politics.
So the House is a whole nother animal, but Schumer was optimistic, emerging last night, that there would be a vote by tonight. But passage requires 12 Democrats because the GOP only has a one-vote majority with five senators in self-quarantine.
Oh, yes, I am here. This is Sandy Rios with you. Yeah, that was Griff Jenkins, and he did a pretty good job of summing up, at least giving you the overview of what's been happening. The Senate had reached, you know, I told you yesterday they'd had like four committees working, Democrats and Republicans trying to come up with this plan, and they were very close to passing it. But because they are down to, it's now 48 Republicans in the Senate to 47 Democrats because, what, four, five? Republicans are out because of coronavirus, which we'll get to in a second. That would be Rand Paul, who's been has tested positive. But I told you I'm concerned about that. But also Mitt Romney has quarantined himself and others. I think Cory Gardner from Colorado, Mike Lee. And there's another one that I can't remember. But that's changed the balance of power in the Senate. It makes you wonder. My husband and I both said, why can't they wear masks? You know, and go and vote. Really, it's. But anyway, they're not wearing masks to go and vote, and they're trying to get 60 votes to just vote on it. You have to have 60 votes in the Senate in order to vote on a piece of legislation. That's not the vote on the legislation. That's a vote. Hey, that's. Do you guys think we should vote on this? How many of you think we should vote on this? And you need 60 people to say yes before you go to debate on the bill and then actually vote on it. Now, I am not, I'm really neutral this morning, at least this morning, because I don't feel I know enough about the Republican plan and their bill to fully embrace it. I am instinctively against spending $2 trillion so quickly. Washington is acting like their hair is on fire. It's like panic mode for them. It really is frightening to me because I feel like often when you are in the Beltway, trust me, I know this, that you are, it is a huge echo chamber. You hear the media hyping everything and people are, you know, the everybody raises the decibel level every time there's a conversation. So in you can imagine in the Senate, you've got five Republican senators who are staying home, one who's been tested positive, the other just out of an abundance of caution. I don't know why no Democrats are staying home. Isn't that interesting? But no, it's just Republicans. That's just a thing to say, what's happening there? But it's changed the balance of power considerably. So I'm just saying that I think Washington is responding in panic to what they think can be answered to with money. And I'm not convinced about that. And I'll just leave it with that right now. We'll get into it. I'm going to talk to someone who's more of an expert than I am in a second. But I want you to hear what Senator Cotton said on the floor last night, because Griff was right. Tempers did flare. People were furious. This is what they're furious about, because they were almost to an agreement, right or wrong. They had agreed on a plan, and then Nancy Pelosi interjected herself with Chuck Schumer, and they sidetracked the whole thing. And this is what now Nancy Pelosi said. She's going back to the House, and they're going to write a new bill. They're going to write their own bill. And this is Senator Cotton's response to that. The proposals that Nancy Pelosi has in mind on the floor of the Senate last night. Let's listen.
Let's just go through what is a priority for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. The Democrats want to impose quotas for race and sex on corporate boards. Early voting mandated in every single state. The same kind of early voting that almost doomed the Democrats' favorite presidential candidate, Joe Biden. Oh, combine that with same-day registration, airline carbon emission offsets. Every airline that benefits from these programs, which is probably going to be all of them, has to go carbon neutral by 2025. I wonder if that'll apply, by the way, to the private planes that Nancy Pelosi and her family flies in.
All right, so that's just a little bit of it. There's a lot more to it. They want to bail out the entire debt of the Postal Service. You heard what they want to do with voting. They want early voting and same-day voter registration, where it's the same date. They want to do Sundays because they know that black churches, they want to do it at black churches. That's the next step, which we'll probably have a show on that at some point in the future. Also, the bailout for all student loans. They want to talk about union collective bargaining. They want to make provisions for that. I don't know if you caught this or if they played that part of Tom Cotton's speech where he said that they want every airplane to announce the greenhouse gas statistics for that flight to passengers. They're attacking in this bill, proposed bill, to save you from coronavirus, by the way. To save Americans from coronavirus, this is what they want to do, meaning the Democrats, meaning Nancy Pelosi. They have a retirement plan for community newspaper employees. They want a $15 minimum wage because that'll save your life. Of course, businesses are going out of business, that they will if they have to stay closed for very long. There won't be a wage for anyone. It'll be zero. That'll be the minimum wage. And permanent paid leave at companies receiving assistance. So, it's really disgusting. It is. And there's more. In fact, I should tell you a little bit more. They are reprieving Obama phones. This is what Pelosi's doing. Remember those free phones that were handed out during the first, the Obama crisis, where they gave out tons of money to their friends? Remember car dealerships that were, and we know now, the car dealerships that were closed because they had to be closed because, the government had to step in and help, right? Help, quote unquote help. The car dealerships that were mandated to close turned out to be Republicans. It's funny how that works. And so now Nancy Pelosi is working, part of her bill is for them to decide, who gets to help and who doesn't get help. Who do you think is going to get help? I'm just wondering. So that's that. There's so much to say about that. I could do the whole show just reading you a list of what they're trying to do. Now, I don't understand, honestly, where they are at this point. They have the Senate bill written out, and then Nancy Pelosi came up with her wish list of everything, greenhouse gases, Postal Service bailout, unions, everything, Obama phones, and now they're supposed to come together. And Chuck Schumer said as of last night that he thought there would be a vote today. I don't know, so we'll talk to our guest in a second and see if he knows. Senator Kennedy, who's, very salty, was on the Senate floor last night, and this is what he had to say, clip 9.
You know what the American people are thinking right now, Mr. President? They're thinking that this country was founded by geniuses, but it's being run by a bunch of idiots. What are we going to leave to our children if we allow this economy to crash?
All right, and then he was on with Tucker Carlson last night, and Tucker asked him some really good questions, and I wanted you to hear what he had to say. I guess we'll play both of these. Let's try clip 10 where he talks about why Congress can't get together. Let's listen.
I think that they think that they have the Republicans over a barrel and the president. Reality calls and Congress is hanging up. I meant what I said on the floor. Tucker,
yeah.
More charitable Americans are thinking to themselves, well, there's some good members of Congress, but we can't figure out what they're good for. Less charitable Americans are saying, you know, how did these morons make it through the birth canal? I mean, people are losing their jobs. They're losing their savings. They're losing their 401k. We think we know how to get the economy back on its feet over the next 60 to 90 days until we can get control of the virus. And some of my colleagues, they're acting like, I'm sorry, I'm not saying they mean to, but nonetheless, they're killing it. They're just throwing in every special interest political want, not need, thinking that they can ram it through because we're too scared to vote against it. And it's just wrong, man. It's just wrong.
All right, so that's part of what Senator Kennedy had to say. I want to add, you know, yesterday I talked to you about the fact that the left, their mantra is never waste a good crisis. This has been going on for since communism was established, and maybe before that, but that's the first I know about it, is that when there's trouble, go in, if it's a natural disaster, if it's a dispute between workers and a union, go in and make it worse. Turn people against each other. You probably have family members who are very good at this. You know, stoke the flames, make it worse, exaggerate the claims, and let it just get out of control and enjoy it, and then march in and act as though you have the answer. Wait, there's so much chaos that it's easy to take power and then take the power. So if you think I'm crazy about that, Rahm Emanuel actually was on ABC's This Week Sunday repeating that. He says, never let a good crisis go to waste. He said that, you know, back in during the Obama financial crisis. But, you know, it wasn't his idea. He was just verbalizing what the left knows and what I've been talking to you probably about on this air, on this microphone for a very long time. I could go into great detail, but I better not because I want to tell you some other things. I told you yesterday that one of the Democratic leaders on a conference call had said to the other Democrats that this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Well, now I know who said that. It was Majority Whip James Clyburn. This is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. This is what they have in mind for us. The other whole thing is like manipulation. The press, by the way, CNN and MSNBC cut away from the president's briefing yesterday. They've been complaining about the president being on the air every day, and so they did something about it yesterday. The president's approval ratings have been going up, I think, because of these daily press conferences. And Anthony Fauci was on a show over the weekend talking about how hard everyone is working, and he didn't think there could be a more thorough response, that they are just giving it everything they've got every single day. I don't think we have to be convinced of that, do you? The president, by the way, in regard to, I just want to remind you what he said. He's setting 15 days, and I believe the time is up Sunday, but he said, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we will make a decision as to which way we want to go. Will we stay all shut down and let the economy, go to wherever it's going to go? Or are we going to stop all these restrictions? Well, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of pressure on this president. All right, coming up next, a better discussion of this bill, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life.
with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jack Bobbitt, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Housing Operations at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Mr. Bobbitt oversees the procurement, facilities, HR, communications, and information technology systems of the department. Luke 14:28 reminds us of the importance of careful planning in our daily tasks. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Jack Bobbitt in his role at HUD. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. Democrats blocked a $1.8 trillion stimulus spending bill to protect small business owners and provide relief to American families suffering as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. At issue is how to ensure Americans will continue to receive paychecks in the midst of a national emergency. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the notion lawmakers have time to play games with the American economy and the American people is absurd. So let me explain what's really happening in Washington, D.C. The Democrats want the stock market to tank because they believe that will doom the president's reelection bid. The Democrats do not care if your children go to bed hungry. They do not care if the bank forecloses on your home. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer are sending a very clear message to taxpayers. Let the people suffer. And now it's imperative for you to contact your elected leaders and tell them to stop playing politics. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
There is verbal open brawling on the United States Senate floor right now, Harris. It's been a long time, probably about 25 years, since I've seen it devolve this badly, where you actually have senators from both sides yelling at one another because there's so much frustration over trying to get this coronavirus bill through. They've been at each other's throats in the past hour. Here is the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell.
Here's the way it works, colleagues. We have been fiddling around, as the senator from Maine pointed out,
Mr. President,
for 24 hours.
Senator from West Virginia has the floor.
Can I? I'll be happy. I know where you're coming from on this. We just have a little different opinion about this.
I thank my friend from West Virginia. I think
the majority leader.
Colleagues would benefit from understanding where we are.
Democrats continue to negotiate with the Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, and White House Director of Legislative Affairs, Eric Euland. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, continues to say they're close, but the problem is that Republicans, they're in the majority, they need Democrats. They need 60 yeas on this procedural vote. There are 53 Republican senators, but they are now down to 48 because of quarantines. That's why Democrats continue to argue that there needs to be a universal agreement between Democrats, Republicans, the White House, and the House of Representatives. Here's Chuck Schumer.
We're very close to reaching a deal. Very close. And our goal is to reach a deal today. And we're hopeful, even confident.
Now, here's what Susan Collins said on the floor a little bit ago. She got up in the grill of Chuck Schumer. She said, disgraceful. The Democratic leader even objected to me even being able to speak. Unbelievable. Is this what we've come to? John Thune, the Republican whip, he said the country is burning.
All right, that was Chad Program, and that was yesterday afternoon. What a difference a day makes. Of course, Chuck Schumer is claiming this morning that they're going to be reaching an agreement, or at least by later today. I don't really understand that, to be honest with you, given all we've just discussed. I've asked Seton Motley to join us this morning. Seton is the founder and president of Less Government, which might be the opposite of what's happening on Capitol Hill right now. Right, Seton?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been saying since the government slammed the door on the economy, call me Captain Bailout, because you know, this isn't the auto industry that sold its soul to the, you know, the auto workers union on a bad business model and went bankrupt. This was a thoroughly flourishing economy that was motoring along at the best clip in 50 years, and the government slammed the door in its face. So this is almost a Fifth Amendment takings clause issue. I don't have a problem with the government, you know, undoing the damage they've done. Now, to a degree, government does damage to all sectors at all times, because that's what government does. But this entire, you know, this nationwide, we're shutting everything down thing is cataclysmic for the economy, and they should pay for it.
Interesting, Seton. I don't, honestly, before you join me, your dog has an opinion. That's all right. Before you joined me this morning, we talked a lot about what's in this Nancy Pelosi bill. And I have not declared an opinion on this, on her bill, yes, her provisions, yes, but a bill in general.
Her bill is ridiculous, yes.
Yeah, yes, it is, yes, and we talked about that before you joined us. But I honestly don't see how they can come, based on what I know, how in the world can they come to an agreement today? How do you see that? Do you know something
I don't know? They have to say, you know, Trump gets a lot of incorrect yelling at during his China virus briefings for being overly optimistic. No, he's, in some sense, he's got to be the national cheerleader, right? I mean, that's part of the deal. And Schumer's got to pretend we're close to a deal, even as he's, you know, digging a knife into the back of any conceivable deal. I mean, so I agree with you. I don't think we're close today. I really don't. You know, this is just, it's really absurd what the Democrats are doing. There's a quote from, I think it was Jim Clyburn, who said, this is an opportunity to transform the country predicated upon our principles, and I'm paraphrasing. But that was to other Democrats in a meeting that apparently was leaked by at least one Democrat who found it, you know, staffer or whatever, who found it completely nauseating to use an opportunity like this for those purposes.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's amazing. But why should we be shocked? I mean, this is.
I was going to say it's not shocking anymore. It's not just, you know, I guess you could say it's disappointing. But again, that speaks to having some standard of expectation from Democrats, and I don't know if we have any anymore.
Seton, let's talk about a couple of things that you've weighed in on lately in writing. And I know that you have some concerns about what the Republicans were proposing. I heard you say, in general, you don't have a problem with, since they have shut everything down by decree, you don't have a problem with them helping in some way. But you have some concerns. And you talk about price fixing in the bill.
Well, this is a Republican attempt to do what Pelosi's doing.
Yes,
which is cram non-China virus stuff into a China virus bill. I mean, this is no better than that. Outgoing allegedly Republican Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee is trying to, you know, jam a bill he's had for months and months that has gotten no traction for very good reason into this coronavirus bill. Now, surprise medical billing is what he's trying to address. And it's a problem, again, created by government's over-intervention in the healthcare sector. But what happens is, Sandy, you know, you get in a car accident, the ambulance shows up, there's personnel in the ambulance, you go to the doctor, to the hospital, there's the emergency room doctor, then you have to visit two specialists and all these other healthcare providers, and they're all carved up into different sectors. Well, then you get your, you know, at the end of the, you recover and you get a bill, and you saw 11 different practitioners and only 7 are in your network for your insurance, which means you're responsible to pay for 4. That's the surprise medical billing. Now, the solution is arbitration, you know, like baseball arbitration where player says I'm worth X, the team says I'm worth Y, and then an independent arbiter says we agree with the team or we agree with the player. New York State, believe it or not, New York State does this in healthcare, and it works. The doctors and providers are on one side of the table, the insurance companies are on the other, and then the arbiter looks at the case and says, okay, we agree with the doctors in this instance, the providers in this instance, or the insurance company in this instance, whatever. That's not what Alexander's bill does. Alexander's biggest donor from 2013 to 2018 was Blue Cross Blue Shield. So as a going away present to Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I think simultaneously a big wet kiss to what could be his very first client when he sets up his K Street lobby shop after leaving the Senate, is this fake arbitration, but it's not even an arbitration bill. What it's government price fixing of the insurance industry. What it says is you take the baseline numbers from the insurance policies, and that's the baseline from which you operate on arbitration. So it's not even arbitration. It's fixing. It's the government fixing prices at prices set by the insurance company. So not only is it bad policy, he's trying to jam it into a China bill. He tried to jam it in the second China bill, the one that passed last week. And I don't think, unfortunately not on its merits, but I think just through legislative wrangling, it didn't make the cut. So now he's trying to jam it again here into the third one.
Seton, in terms of procedure, you know, we've got, what, 5 Republicans out. And so let's assume that this bill that they're talking about that may pass today, it looks more like the let's assume, because who knows, it looks more like the Republican proposal than Nancy Pelosi's, you know, wish list for Obama phones and post office bailouts and a mandated
pre-voting.
All of this stuff. But let's suppose it's more the Republican bill, but there are less Republicans. Do they have to adopt the whole thing, or can there be arguments about Lamar Alexander's little rider?
Again, that'll get into the legislative wrangling, not just within the halls of Congress, but if it makes it, I mean, not within the halls of the, not just within the halls of the Senate. He didn't make it out of the Senate into the compromise bill that, you know, then of course that gets reconciled between the House and the Senate. He didn't even make it there. So the question becomes, if he makes it into the Senate version of the bill, and then they go to reconciliation, can we get the reconcilers to go, this is stupid, this is out? So I'd like to think we can kill it again in the Senate and just not even take that chance in the reconciliation process.
But the point is, though, to me, the big point is that the Republicans are giving fodder. Nancy Pelosi's just, I was going to play this, but I don't think I have time. Nancy Pelosi just made a statement yesterday. One of the talking points of the Democrats is that the Republicans are just trying to help big business. And this just fodder for that. This is just a perfect example.
Yes, it is. But the Democrats, I think, might support this bill. The co-sponsor of Alexander's bill is New Jersey Democrat Frank Pallone in the House.
Okay.
He's carrying the House version.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other Republicans that support this nonsense, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
So they might actually be silent on this. But, yeah, the big business talking point is just stupid. Yes, and it's small business, too. The best idea I heard, and I first heard it from Marco Rubio a week or so ago, was give these companies money earmarked for payroll. So you pay people to not work and keep them in their jobs. And then a year later, when these companies file their taxes, if they use the money for anything other than payroll, it becomes a loan. If they use it for payroll, it becomes a grant and they can keep the money.
Oh, that is a great idea.
That's the best idea I've heard.
Yeah.
And that because the disruption comes from firing people, and then a month later when we stop this Titanic shutdown nonsense, you know, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch that you've shaken. You've shaken the entire national Etch-a-Sketch. Those, you know, it's better to keep these people in the jobs they already sought were hired for, and just pay them to do nothing while we force them to do nothing through no fault of their own, and then, examine, if the companies do that, if they use the government money to keep these people in place, we ramp up much more quickly on the other end of this nonsense, and it's much less disruptive. And, by the way, that it's a whole lot cheaper than all these people filing unemployment.
Hey, Seton, this is the part I can't quite figure this out. The president is talking about 10 days, and I think the 10 days is up Sunday, this Sunday, I think. And so can we not hold off? Do we have to pass a $2 trillion or $3 trillion package?
Unfortunately, I don't think 10 days this Sunday is going to do it from the perspective of the freak-out caucus. The freak-out caucus is going to continue to insist. More and more numbers come in that show that this freak-out shutdown makes less and less sense. 99% of people that get this virus recover. And do so pretty mildly. Sandy, I may have had it. I think I had it in January. I had a respiratory problem. I had a fever. I got the flu for 3 or 4 days, and then it went away. This is before we really knew what China virus was yet,
Yes.
West Virginia, the entire state of West Virginia, may have gone through its entire China virus cycle before we knew it. In December and January, they had this weird flu. They couldn't identify it. People got sick for 3 or 4 days, and then they all got better. That's why there's only, to the best of my knowledge, there's only one documented case in West Virginia right now, because they've already gone through the entire cycle.
Well,
and did you have mass deaths in West Virginia? No.
No, I don't think anybody died.
It just shows the shutdown's a way overstretch.
I was just looking at the numbers yesterday. I don't think West Virginia's even had one death, which is interesting. I want to switch.
Like I said, they had a weird flu. They're like, well, this isn't like the normal flu. And they had it, and it went through the entire cycle. Not one death. Everybody got sick. Everybody got better. We shouldn't shut down the entire economy because we're short on masks and gowns.
Well, fine. I totally
make some more masks and gowns. Quarantine people who are 90 and infirmed, because they're the ones that are really susceptible to death because of this, and let the rest of the country go about its business. There's no reason me, at my age, in my condition, should be forced to not. I haven't been to the gym in 8 days because the governor shut it down with authority and power I didn't think he had. But anyway.
A lot of them are finding authority and power we didn't think they had. Seton, one thing I want to get into, we have 2 minutes, that's it. You wrote this fascinating article about the comparison. Now, what we found out about the U.S. internet as compared to the Chinese internet based on this lockdown.
Western Europe.
Western Europe, sorry. So, what your thoughts, please.
Well, yeah, the tech media, I've been following tech issues for 15 years now, and the tech media is a perfect microcosm of the leftist, of the regular political media. They're very hardcore left-wing. It's an America last media. America's awful, America's terrible, America stinks. And, we've been hearing for years that our internet is slower and more expensive than every place else on Earth, particularly Western Europe. They love Western Europe and South Korea. And, they ignore the fact that we have orders of magnitude more landmass than Western Europe does, which means we have to connect, we have to dig trenches a lot more than they do, right? I mean, they have Eurorail passes. You can take a train through 8 countries in 2 hours, This is a big country. Also, we have 330 million people. Europe is not wired to the internet as one unit. Each country wires itself. And so, despite all that, here we go into the coronavirus shutdown where everybody's doing everything from home, which means much, much more internet use. Is the U.S. suffering a strain? As I predicted last week, I said, no, they won't. They're not. Western Europe, the EU chancellor has come out and said, all video, Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, all you companies have to switch from high-def video to standard-def video because it's clogging up our networks and slowing everything down. Now, keep in mind, video consumes more bandwidth than anything by far. Netflix and YouTube represent more than half of all internet traffic in our country.
Seton, that's amazing. And we'll put that article, plus lots of your articles, on our Facebook page so people can get a taste of what you're writing about. I've wanted to have you on for a long time. It's been a long time since you've been my guest. So Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government. Seton, we'll talk again soon, God willing, okay? Thank you, sir. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. COVID-19 originated in the Wuhan province in China. President Trump calls it the Chinese virus. Regressive pundits say it's racist for him to do so. Historically, diseases are named due to their place of origin or the location of their first known victims. Hence, the West Nile virus, Ebola, Japanese encephalitis, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. You get the point. The bottom line, racism chatter here is ridiculous. COVID-19 came from Wuhan. It is the Wuhan coronavirus, period.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
What is the most important truth that you'll ever hear? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ just screams out, I love you.
Discover the power that is available to you through the cross of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Butch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The coronavirus panic has now taken on a life of its own. We're all now just passengers. It's a very uncertain time for everyone. But remember the story of Jesus and the storm on the Sea of Galilee. While the disciples were in full-blown panic, he was asleep in the back of the boat. Whatever else we know that Jesus is not panicked by this crisis. Remember that as long as Jesus is in the boat won't sink and the storm won't last forever. Peter was even able to walk on the turbulent waters as long as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. It was only when he shifted his focus from the Lord to the waves that he began to sink. Let's take all the things that worry us, our health, our families, our finances, our pensions, and take them out of our basket and put them in the Lord's basket. He will take care of them for us.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Hawaiian island of Oahu is home to the U.S. Navy's Pacific Fleet. Ordinarily, it's a bustling place. In this time of pandemic disease, government shutdown and social distancing, however, it is reportedly eerily quiet, a symptom of our nation's preoccupation with the myriad domestic crises brought on by the one foreign threat we perceive at the moment, the Chinese virus. But experienced national security professionals are warning that the Chinese Communist Party may regard this moment as an ideal one for lashing out, perhaps by invading Taiwan. It has been preparing for such an ambitious operation for years, with the deployment nearby of immense amounts of military gear, including advanced ballistic missiles, aircraft, and ships. The PRC is indisputably behaving increasingly provocatively towards Taiwan and towards us. If we want peace, we better prepare for war with Communist China. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, on a lighter note, Costco. People that hoarded toilet paper from Costco are coming back to Costco trying to return it, because Costco has such a great return policy. But Costco's telling them, no deal. You cannot return toilet paper. No way, Jose. Also, I think it's wet wipes, sanitizing wipes, water, rice, and Lysol. You cannot return it, says Costco. So some of the hoarders are kind of, it's coming Well, let's just say it's coming home to roost. They're going to have to give it out for Christmas presents or something. But that's kind of the way people that are the world, most of the world who does not have any knowledge, personal knowledge of a loving God, a panic. They're scared to death to die. They are frightened out of their minds of being ill. They're frightened of the coronavirus for that reason. And none of us want to get sick, but those of us that have a steadfast faith in an everlasting God who created all things know that he is the author of death and life, and that at some point 100% of us are going to die, and we don't have that same panic. At least we should not exhibit that kind of fear. And when you start to get it, like I told you, I felt it more for the financial worry. I haven't really, as many bad things as I tell you these mornings, because most of it is, so much of it is bad news, and that's what I have to deliver to you. I am really not personally, I am not fearful. God has just been really talking to me about who he is, which is a lot greater than the worries that I might have. And I've always known, I just had to be reminded that everything that we have, we hold it loosely. Are you willing to give up everything for him? Are you willing to give up your livelihood? Are you willing to give up your husband or wife in death or disease or illness? Are you willing to give up your children? Do you love him more than that? Like Abraham was required to give up Isaac, do you love him more than the life you live and the way of life and your comfort? Do you love him more than that? Do you love him more than standing before a person with a sword who is threatening to behead you unless you deny your faith? Do you love him more than you love keeping your head on your shoulders? These are the things that we know intellectually. Fox's Book of Martyrs is all full of, you know, these incredible stories of people who knew and were willing to lay down their lives, and so they did. And it's their moment of death that's recorded. It's just the most incredible little book. And I remember reading it and just being so moved and motivated. I want to be in that place, don't you? Is that so foreign to you that you cringe? And yet, you know, Jesus was clear. If you love your life, you got to be willing to lay it down or you will lose it. And I have seen with my own eyes and experienced in lesser ways, because I've never had to lay down my life, but I've really experienced letting go and making some very hard decisions that had some very difficult consequences. I've practiced that a little bit in smaller ways, but not my life. But it's funny to me, I found it interesting and sort of depressing to me that I should be so comfortable now that I would cling to our way of life, not just mine, but all of us, the prosperity. So why would we do that? God is above all of that, all of the earthly circumstances that we concern ourselves with. And so I don't mean that we don't think about it, and I never will mean that we shouldn't do something. I'm talking about that deep inner place of yours that knows that that rests upon the rock, upon the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to give you contrast to that. For just a second, I want to give you a contrast by of what people who don't have that same kind of assurance. I'm going to give you what their reaction is. This is Christine Pelosi found out. That's Nancy Pelosi's grown daughter. She's not young. I mean, she was the one that did a video tape presentation of George W. Bush when he was on the campaign trail. That was a long time ago. So Christine's not young. She tweeted after, you remember that, okay, Rand Paul's neighbor was named Rene Brugere. He attacked Rand from the back when Rand was on his riding lawnmower. The attack resulted in 5 broken ribs and a removal of part of his lung, which was damaged from the incident. There wasn't much coverage of that, and they always said it was over a dispute over how they kept the yard, and I know that that's not true. I heard Rand and his wife talk for a long time about, they had hardly spoken to this neighbor. And we know that the neighbor was a virulent anti-Trumper leftist. So, but that's just a coincidence, right? So this neighbor attacks him from behind, and what does he get? He gets 30 days in jail over a yard dispute. That to me has always been a travesty. And now Rand Paul is one of the five Republican senators who's tested positive for COVID-19. I think that's very serious, and it just grieves me to think that he'd have to even be worried about that after all they've been through. And with part of his lung missing and his weakened condition, likely weakened after what he's been through, I think it is dangerous. So how did Christine Pelosi thought it was dangerous too, only she was pretty happy. She tweeted, Rand Paul's neighbor was right. That was her tweet. Rand Paul's neighbor is right. A vitriolic hatred for Rand Paul. I think that's interesting. And we see that a lot from the left. David Plouffe, who was the campaign manager for President Trump, he tweeted this. It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again. So you get a little wicked when you don't know God, when you don't honor him and know him personally, you get a little wicked. And so yesterday, I thought it was interesting in regard to the hope and your view of the world. Madonna made a videotape for all of us just because, you know, the guru of all things is Madonna. But aside from that, you can hear the anxiety in her voice. And she did it from her bathtub. She's got, yes, you couldn't see anything, but she's in her bathtub because that's how bizarre Madonna has gotten. We all get bizarre, apart from God. The further we spin out, the crazier we get, I have to say. So this is Madonna talking about the coronavirus. Let's listen.
That's the thing about COVID-19. It doesn't care about how rich you are, how famous you are, how funny you are, how smart you are, where you live, how old you are, what amazing stories you can tell. It's the great equalizer. And what's terrible about it is what's great about it. What's terrible about it is it's made us all equal in many ways. And what's wonderful about it is that it's made us all equal in many ways. Like I used to say at the end of Human Nature every night, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
If the ship goes down, we're all going down together.
Isn't that something? Now you think about that. That is, I'm sure, how she really feels, panicked. And she is probably expressing a feeling of a lot of Hollywood and celebrities, the godless portion of them, which is most of them, it seems. Our neighbors, you know, many of them are feeling that way. They're hearing these stories. First of all, I think that the dangers are exaggerated. You know, I've said that to you before. And, you know, Seton just repeated much of what I had said to you. I do think there's danger with the economy, but people around us are hopeless. Are we bringing them? Are we showing any contrast in our own personal response to this? I've asked myself, am I doing that? Well, how can I do that, Lord? How can I do that? And I thought of a scripture verse that I just think is something we should take in and ponder. It's found in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet during the time when they were about to be overrun and destroyed, and God had told him that. And so he's the one that starts out with, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you will not listen? And then he ends, after he goes through all of the impending dangers, he says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. He's talking about all the troubles that he knew were coming. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Have you ever been that frightened? And yet this is what Habakkuk said. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And that's from the last chapter of the book of Habakkuk. I just love that. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And could I just say that that's not a fake talk yourself into something place to be. That is the real power of the Almighty God. I think about, remember those, I'm seeing those men lined up on that shore, I believe it was in Egypt, who were beheaded by ISIS, and some of them converted at the last minute, and none of them would recant their faith. They bent down on their knees, and they were each beheaded. Do you remember that? And that's kind of like Fox's Book of Martyrs tells stories of people who just, I remember one about a woman who was watching her 7-year-old be tortured, and the child's crying out to the mother, and the mother's saying, don't give up, don't recant. And she was watching horrible things. I'm not even going to tell you what they were doing. But she is saying to the child, don't recant your faith. Don't give up, son. We'll see you in heaven. Do you have that kind of faith? We need to pray for that kind of faith, because what I saw in that book and with the Chinese Christians that I've seen that have been in prison, I remember my friend Jonathan, who had just gotten out of a labor camp, meeting with him, and the things that he said to me, the spirit in which he delivered it, about how he'd been beaten, and the supernatural place which he was willing to be beaten and actually witness to the guard as he was beating him. This is a power of God that some of us have never experienced, and yet I know it is real and it is there, and I'm just challenging all of you to find that place in your walk with the Lord. Start one by one by really praying to give up, hold loosely every single thing you own. I think one of the reasons that I had to learn that was because God really did take away so much of my life that I would have leaned on a lot of things. And I don't even want to go into that. Let's just say that I finally realized it was just me and him. It always was. I just didn't realize it. And it was actually a freedom when I understood that my faith in Christ, it's between, nobody else is going to die with me. No one else is going to go to heaven with me. It's me and my relationship with Jesus. And that's what I have focused on since then. How could I have forgotten that, by the way? Let me just add that I honestly don't think I could be wrong. Who knows what's going to happen here? I don't think our greatest threat is from this virus. I do think we're in a grave financial threat, and mostly we're in a threat because we become a nation of just adrift morally, adrift spiritually. I find the church, and I mean I'm talking about the universal church, the American church is not as it's drifting too. There are wonderful, wonderful people who really love Jesus, but there are hardly any who would be willing to do anything and give up everything for him. And yet that is what's required. And I think that's why there's not enough power. Power in preaching, power in praying, power in our own personal lives. As troubles come and we get more disturbed and the props are taken out from under us, this is what I know. We will see more and more of Jesus. We will feel his power with such force that we won't ever want to go back to those false props. I promise you that. I promise you that. That as we let go and as things get really hard, as the flames figuratively lick about our feet, as things get difficult, we're going to sense more of his presence. And again, you won't ever want to go back. That's what I saw in other believers, whether it was China or Vietnam or Russia in the 90s. It is just a universal truth among the body of Christ. Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will understand and you will see much more clearly than we see right now. Like when Stephen was stoned. Think about his face, how it shone. And so, don't be discouraged. And look at the last chapter of Habakkuk. I think it'll encourage you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.